Your voice.
Your station. Let's walk the talk.
702.
702.
Pumlani, a very good morning to you.
Hi, hi. Thank you for having me.
I suspect that you've been a busy person this week. And before we get on to the EFF, because I'm sure that's dominating the trends, let's talk about the Facebook rapist.
The curious case of Thabo Bester.
Oh, yeah.
This gentleman is, dare I say, a piece of work. I mean, he's been convicted and accused of impersonating various people on Facebook. And this usually leads to women getting raped. He was convicted for like 15 years. And after a mysterious prison fire, apparently people have claimed to have seen him walking around kind of thing, like, you know, not serving his sentence or, you know, not otherwise paying his debt to society. His whole MO is that he impersonates people on Facebook and he lures women in and, you know, with this ruse. And it turns out to be a very dangerous man.
So, I mean, the newspapers have got pictures of him as well. I mean, you wonder if this kind of focus and interest on social media will help the police in any way.
I mean, look, that's definitely where this resurgence has come into his case. A woman on Facebook claims to have been out with Bester in October, which, you know, obviously doesn't correlate to, you know, him being sentenced. And it seems like he might be out there doing what he's, you know, I guess gotten accustomed to doing, what he's gotten away with doing, which is really dangerous. But social media has played a part in, you know, whistleblowing and alerting society and the authority to the fact that this could be happening. You know, it's still all allegedly, it's still very murky at the time being, but it is quite a frightening prospect to think that someone who's convicted for crimes as heinous as these, I mean, we're talking about women like within the number of around 20 to 30, and you know, his age group is 18 to 34, and it seems like, you know, he might have, you know, skipped out somehow. So hopefully he'll be brought to the justice sometime soon.
Gosh, I mean, that's absolutely frightening, isn't it? And so the call is out to anybody who's out there who thinks they might have seen him. I mean, you don't want to do is start bashing down on people's homes and pulling people out. But if they think that they have seen him, then, you know, definitely get that picture up. Something else that happened, which has been, you know, obviously disturbing for so many. We lost so many greats over the last couple of weeks. Costa Titch, I believe he's also trending still. Why is that?
Yeah, definitely a trending story. I mean, last week at a popular music festival, this young talent, he suffered a seizure on stage. I read an article about it for the City Press this week. I mean, there's, it's a great way to go, dare I say, not to be insensitive for a rock star. I mean, he was receiving a resounding ovation at the time at the end of a song. And then he just collapsed and started convulsing on the ground, and we've since lost him. My only concerns around this, which, you know, I mean, these things do have to be addressed eventually, is the manner in which he was dealt with, you know, at the time. I didn't see any gurney or first aid kind of rushing to his side. It was mostly his hype men and fellow performers who kind of carried him off, and not in a stable manner. And one security guard, very traumatic imagery, you know, obviously people were filming the performance. So very disturbing to see how all that went down. And now great young talent has gone. His fusion of amapiano and rap styles and hip-hop was intriguing to behold. And it got the people going. You know, he was also a great dancer, which is where his life in the limelight started, which is, you know, as a dancer. And now that talent, you know, I mean, that flame has been snuffed forever, and one can't help but wonder whether or not negligence was at hand. I mean, I believe young Costa Titch had always struggled with epilepsy. Personally, if I'm a manager, an artist, a publicist, and not an artist, but a manager or an agent or such, my artist has issues around that. It's quite a serious ailment. I'm not sending my artist anywhere near a place with strobe lights, or at the very least, while he's on or she's on, you know, my hypothetical artist, we're going to have to get rid of those lights for the time being. So,
I mean, you would think, wouldn't you? I mean, it just, I think people become complacent, and again, We don't know what happened and why it played out like it did. And the problem with people on their phones, often when scenes happen that require attention, they're so busy filming it rather than taking action.
It's definitely something that is like a global issue. You know, I mean, we're very quick on the draw to film someone in pain, to film someone's last moments, where maybe you should, you know, pick up the phone, yes, but call an ambulance, or maybe Google some steps as to how to deal with someone who is suffering with from seizures, from epilepsy at the time, because I believe there are protocols and procedures that one must follow to ensure that the, you know, patient or the person suffering the seizure doesn't choke on their tongue or any variety of things go wrong. And I didn't see that being observed in this case. And hip hop is, you know, all the art, South African art. I mean, in the same week as the passing of Mom Gloria Bosman, we've lost quite a substantial amount of talent at the beginning of this year. It's quite worrying to see.
All right. EFF, I should imagine, well, we know it's trending already. And you know what's interesting about the EFF? I mean, if we put their name into a story, if we talk about it online, on air, whatever it is, the numbers shoot up. Who are these people? Why do the numbers always go crazy when there's anything linked with the EFF? What is it?
I think right now they're serving the purpose of being the agitators, the disruptors. I may not always agree with the manner in which they go about doing this, but they do poke and prod and ask questions. Of those in power, the majority party rather, and we need that to an extent. I don't know if I put my entire faith in them, but I think this national shutdown is something that a bunch of groups have been threatening, especially behind the scourge of load shedding. And so Monday we're going to see, and hopefully it's a peaceful one. Ours is a violent nation, a very passionate nation. So a protest could become a riot at any moment. You know? So hopefully they manage to straddle the line between getting their message across and out and bringing destruction to the city and country. But something does need to be done about the situation we're in. I mean, the economy is suffering very badly, and obviously the entire thing has become politicized. It's gamesmanship between Malema and the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, and obviously he's commissioned all his forces just to ensure that it goes down safely, and I hope it does, and I also hope that maybe it leads to more effective solutions in as far as getting us out of this hole that we're in, that this never ending darkness.
And I suppose that's why their numbers are always so high, because I mean they never fail to entertain, possibly, to stir some passion.
Politics, yeah. They are they're a marquee act. You know, we saw what they did at the last State of the Nation address. I'm not entirely sure what it is they were thinking when they stormed the stage. It was quite a jarring moment.
They
will resort to sharp tactics, and which is what deters some people from them in as far as taking them seriously as, you know, a viable alternative to leadership. But we do need people like that, in as far as opposition that'll make people think and maybe get some things going. We need desperate.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Pumlani Langa, very good to speak to you. I hope we get to speak to you again about what's trending and what's not.